Today on Real Life Radio.
It is the Bible that says of itself that it is God's revealed will. The Bible says, even in its mechanism, that it's written by men, but the men that wrote it were possessed by God. Remarkable.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 4 continues his series called The Why Series. As Christians, we all know that the truthful answers are quite hard to come by these days, especially if we're looking anywhere else but in the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found in the pages of Scripture. You know, a lot of world religions have some sort of truth involved with them. But everything about the Bible and Christianity is true. Its promises are true, its history is true, and its claims to know the future are also true. The Bible, even though it has 66 books with 40 different authors, agrees with itself. The Bible, in its truth, has affected nations and cultures, and yet with its transforming power, it speaks directly to us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that as individuals, we really want our lives to matter. The good news is that we matter to God and that He has a plan for our lives. Many take their God-given creativity and design and use those characteristics for their own gain. But you know, ultimately, God takes our talents and gives them meaning and purpose. And now in his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we pray tonight that we would marvel at your power. We ask it, Lord, in your name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. The whole point to the concluding arguments of this portion of the Why series, we've been looking at for quite some time, why does Christianity claim to be right? All the religions of the world claim that they've got it right. But Christianity, in a very pronounced and very defined way, claims that it is true, that it is right. If you look at the world religions, they all have something that's right about them. But there's only one that has everything right about it. And according to the Bible, it's what is called Christianity. Now, Christianity in the world today is getting a black eye, and I have to admit, sometimes it deserves it because things that are being said and done in the name of Christianity are not Christian. But there's a true church. There's what our good friend Jan Markell will say is the remnant church. The real believers who stay true to the Bible is a number that's growing less and less in the world. And yet even the Bible tells us that that's exactly what will happen in the last days. But when we talk about Christianity being the one that is claiming to be right, it's not because we are our own cheerleaders. We're not cheering on this team because, we decided to join. The reason why we decided to join is because we have found out that Christianity is in fact true. That its claims are true. That its history is true. In fact, let's go down that list very quick again. Guys, put up on the screen if you would. The self-claims of Christianity. There's no religion on earth that does such radical self-claims but Christianity. Number two, look at number two. Consider the Bible's history. What the Bible has said and the historical effect of Christianity, the Old and New Testament in absolute alignment, notice that there is no contradictions in the Bible. Number three, consider the Bible's declarations. It is the Bible that says of itself that it is God's revealed will. The Bible says, even in its mechanism, that it's written by men, but the men that wrote it were possessed by God. Remarkable. Its declarations are bold, radical. You know, think about this. Before we look at number four, think about this. Jesus said, I'm going to die and be buried and on the third day be risen from the dead. And just that claim alone, if you can undo that declaration, you have destroyed Christianity, if you can do that. Okay? So if you've got something out for Christians in the Bible and God, undo that one and it's over. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, we're done. Okay? Number four. Consider the Bible's what is called eschatological assertions, meaning the Bible is the only book in all the world and world history that says it knows the future in advance and it has written it down. So read it, know it, and look for the future to arrive right before your eyes. The prophetic Word of God. That's what that word means. Eschatological is that God and God alone of the Bible has the ability to write the future down before it happens. No one has ever even attempted this. And this is the God who says he loves you. That ought to give you a big, nice, warm, and fuzzy sense of assurance and comfort. Number five, consider the Bible's corroborative integrity. That it agrees with itself. This is remarkable. Watch this. You can take the Bible and you could drop the Bible out of an airplane and have it land on somebody's head. And if they read it, they would understand the integrity of the Bible. But that's not all. 66 books written by 40 different authors. If you took one of the books of the Bible, even what is known as the poetic books, if you take... If you take Esther, and if you take her life, and if you take that book, and if you study it, you will find out, even though God is not mentioned in the book, you will find out that, and Ruth as well, you look at the book of Ruth, you look at Esther and her life, in these books, there's the story of redemption. And you say, well, that's a problem. Isn't that a problem? No, the very story of Ruth and Boaz is the very acting out of God's love and message of the gospel in redemption. The point is, any book of the Bible that you could turn to, if the book of Romans fell out of an airplane and landed on your head, you'd get saved. Believe it or not, if the book of Leviticus fell out of an airplane and landed on your head, you'd get saved. God wrote it this way. All the more reason why we need to be careful how we study our Bibles. There's an integrity that's built into the Bible. Number six, and that is the evidentiary influences of the Bible. The fact that the Bible in its truth has throughout history affected nations, cultures, peoples, and that is without denial. Absolutely remarkable. And so now we end with tonight's argument, and that is number seven. Consider this, church, and I want to somehow, I don't know how this is going to go, but I want somehow for you to be involved in this. Consider number seven, the Bible's transformative witness. See, what do you mean by that? I'm not talking about the Bible itself being the transformative witness, meaning let's look at the Bible and let's see how it was assembled and how it was put together and all of that. No. I'm talking about the Bible's power to transform you as the witness. This is key. Then this is the bottom. That's why I saved number seven for the last. If the skeptic in the house tonight says, Christianity, no way, it's a joke, all this stuff. You know what people say. They say other stuff. And I'm tired of people saying what they say, by the way. Oh, it's got so many contradictions. If somebody says that to you, you need to stop them right in the tracks and say, just give me one. Well, my grandmother said, bring her here. Well, I heard somewhere. Well, you heard wrong. Listen, I mean this with all love. But we need to stop being polite when it comes to these kinds of things. Somehow we think that being polite is the fruit of the Spirit. Being polite is not the fruit of the Spirit, okay? We think, oh, we need to be polite. Sometimes we're wimping out. We're being cowards when we should stand up and speak the truth. And when somebody says, oh, the Bible's a joke and it's ridiculous and all this kind of stuff. And that rhetoric is increasing right now too, by the way. Listen, the more laid back the church is and cowardly and timid the church is, the more vociferous the accusers become, the louder they get. You need to stand up and say, wait a minute. Show me the contradictions. Wait a minute. Show me the broken prophecies. Where are they? We need to challenge them. We need to stop laying down and rolling over and playing dead. We need to wake up and take on the charge. And listen, you, now I'm assuming tonight, please forgive me in advance, but I'm going to assume tonight for argument's sake that every single one of you in here has had an encounter with God and that you are what Jesus said is born again, that you are a born again believer. And remember, if you're hearing this for the first time, you better pay close attention because Jesus said only those who are born again will go to heaven. You said, Pastor, where do I buy this? You don't buy it. Where do I go to get it? You don't go to get it. You have to ask him. And you have to ask him and you come to him on his terms, not yours. But tonight, this is an important thing. You and I, as God's design, the fact of the matter is, someone has wisely said that we have become victims of our own design. You think about that for a moment. The fact that the human, we touched on this a little bit on Sunday, but the fact that we as humans can formulate thought, we can formulate idea, we can write a poem, we can write a song, we can plan. The fact that you have design features that have been given to you by God, we have fallen victim to our own design. And what I mean by that is that we as humans, we go about designing and thinking and creating because that's part of our nature, but without God, it could be very dangerous. And we go about life because we have this desire to be someone or to do something or to have a name or whatever it might be. Listen, I'm not knocking it, just listen, that there's a drive inside of every single one of us to have our lives matter. Today, young people are asking, what about my life? This is a dangerous time to be a young person because there's so many lies out there and there's so much hopelessness. But let me announce that there's a lot of hope too. You're just looking in the wrong spot, friend. You've been guided down a bad path. You need to look at the love of God and the word of God. You need to find out that God made you. You're designed the way that God has made you in his image, and that design carries with it a plan for God to work in your life. If you don't have that hope, then you're going to wander around and you're going to wind up being hopeless and have no reason for living. I need to tell you again and again that God's desire is for you to not only be a witness to the world, but a transformed witness, okay? God changes lives. This is why Christianity is undeniably true. Even if you don't delve into the theological aspects of it, do you know someone whose life has been radically changed because they became a Christian? Listen, if you're listening right now, if you're watching right now, do you know anybody? Maybe you're an atheist or you're whatever. Do you know anyone whose lives you cannot explain, but their life has been changed because they became a Christian? This witness cannot be ignored. The greatest power is the word of God active within us, living in the world that's out there. People have got to see us every day. They encounter us every day. And it's an awesome thing. But we're very creative. God gave us that ability. We are people of design, engineered by God. But if Christ is not leading your life, you're going to plot and plan the wrong thing. You think of music. You know, there's certain music that Mozart, for example, and Beethoven, there's certain, and I don't know music. I wish I did, but I don't. But according, I guess, to books I've read, that there's certain ways to arrange music that some of these, like Mozart and Beethoven, would not do because they believe that it had satanic influences to it. Now, I don't get that because I don't understand music, but they did. The ability to design, but if it's in the wrong hands, it doesn't go well. And what I'm saying to you tonight is that if you have come to this point in your life by your own design, and you have come to this point of being a victim of your own design, I submit to you tonight that it's time for you to quit. It's time for you to stop. It's time for you to give up. And it's time for you to let God transform your life so that you become the very person that He's designed you to be. And in that, you will be the witness that has been transformed. And that transformative witness in your life transforms the lives of other people. When they see Christ in you, it's the hope of glory. It's amazing. It's what He does. He's so good at that. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. I love this, so do you. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. The psalmist, David, says, "For you formed me in my inward parts." Now, how does he know that? God's revealed this to the psalmist. Notice what he says here. "For you formed me in my inward parts." He's talking about that he's self-aware of this. He's an adult. He's a full-grown man. And he's understanding, wait a minute. In the beginning of me, in my mother's womb, you were there doing this. Now in his adulthood, he's realizing, and some of us need to hear this tonight, there's a sense of sanctified self-awareness. You, God, formed me. Tonight, you're going to choose to believe that or not. Did God form you? If you believe that, then you will never settle for complacency. You will never settle for boring or idle. Let me be blunt and in your face during the season that it is. You will never just stand around with your hand out waiting for somebody to plop money in your hand because God didn't design you to live life that way. God designed you to work with your hands and to sweat and to create and to make something that at the end of the day, you back up and you look at it and you've got this overwhelming sense that I have just done something that matters. This whole thing about, you know what, just give it to me. I'm entitled. Hand it to me. You work so I don't have to. I saw that last week. I'm working, going crazy, flying, landing, packing, going, stuff. And I'm washing my hands and I'm looking out into my backyard and there's our 5-pound Yorkshire Terrier laying out by the pool. I haven't laid out by that pool in years. But I go to work so that my dog can lay out by the pool. My little dog's a socialist. I work, she lays around. There's no self-value. The psalmist says, "You formed me in my inward parts." He goes on to say, "You covered me in my mother's womb." Isn't that amazing? This is a 3,000-year-old book we're reading right here. Well, we don't know if there's any life that's viable or meaningful in there. Boy, you know, you say that to David 3,000 years ago, he'd have punched it right in the nose. Verse 14, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Self-value, friend, imparted by God. "Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." What does that mean? Every human being understands that there is a responsibility that they have within themselves regarding their Creator. I don't care who you are. I'll prove it to you in a moment. "Yeah, I don't believe that." Yeah, well, listen. God put it in every human being to be conscious of being responsible for what they do, what they say, and who they are. It's a fact. I don't care what continent you live on, and I don't care what era you grew up in. I don't care what millennia you lived in. So what makes you so sure? Ecclesiastes 3:11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put, the word in Hebrew is placed or set or appointed or fixed eternity in their hearts. God has put eternity in your heart. I want to shout that just north. I want to shout to, yes, this way, to Hollywood. Hey, knuckleheads, wake up. The reason why your life is so messed up is because you're doing it your way. You're failing to realize that God put eternity in your hearts. And Hollywood says, more sex, more sex, more sex. We just need more sex, more sex. And for what? Then I'll be satisfied. No, you won't. In fact, you know what? More of that and more of the Coke and more of the drink and more of the, you throw it on there, more of the whatever, whatever it is, whatever the world can conjure up, the more of it causes you to be absolutely not fulfilled, but it will cause you to pursue more of it. It's like somebody walking around with a bucket that's got a hole in it. And they go, 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 and their lives are nothing. And you know, we think they're rich. They don't think they're rich. They don't have enough. They need to get more. Listen, you get on that course and you're gonna be ruined. And think of all the talent. Think of all the gifting. Without God, it's dead. No matter what your pursuit is, without him, it's dead. Why? Because he has put eternity in your heart. It means that he has placed within you, you know, we've all read it and heard about it, but it's 100% true that in every human being, it was said a long time ago, there's a Christ-shaped hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill. And it's a fact. Has it happened to you? Do you understand that? It's undeniable. There's that, in fact, from that verse and the truth of that verse comes this pursuit of man, where man says, why am I here? What's the purpose of living? Everyone asks this question. It's a universal question all around the world because you were created by God. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. The Bible talks only about Jesus being the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Isn't that narrow? Let's be honest. Isn't that narrow? Man, that's really narrow. That's right. It is so narrow. Yeah, you have no idea how narrow it is. It's narrow.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio. In his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 4. We're so glad you joined us today. Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 4 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life. And it's a series that allows us to logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, it really is more than possible for us to move forward in the midst of this chaos we find ourselves. Everything seems to be shifting towards conflict and confusion, and yet we can rely on the message of Jesus Christ. Can we really be saved when every other pursuit for the afterlife has let us down? If you're searching for meaning in this troubled world, change will happen when you pursue Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ can help us overcome any obstacle when we're clear on what it means to know God personally. This is why we have a resource at our website called Know God, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, we're sure your questions will be answered in your pursuit for truth. Again, it's a tab called Know God, and it's at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.